Speaking on this program is Bill Boyd.
I'm going to be talking about Psalm 119. Let's turn to that. The psalm has a poetic structure to it. It's interesting. It's an alphabetic acrostic. And what that means is, if you look, and I know the King James Version does this, and some of the others may do this, there's a little heading to each eight verses. This is divided into 22 sections of eight verses each. And just like this first one, there's a little heading here, there's a little symbol. It's a Hebrew letter of the Hebrew alphabet. That's what that symbol is. It would be like their A. And it's called Aleph. And of the next eight verses that follow, in the Hebrew language in which this psalm was first written, the first letter of the first word of each of those eight verses begins with the letter Aleph. And then it's got Beth, and then Gaimel. And it'll go all the way through all the letters of the alphabet, of the Hebrew alphabet. And so that's why it's called an alphabetic acrostic. Now that's the poetic structure. The thought structure is a little more challenging. There's not a line of thought in this psalm. A lot of times we can follow the logical sequence down through parts of the Bible. And through the Psalms you can do that. But there's not a line of thought in this psalm. But there is a center of focus. This is a psalm that never takes its eyes off the Word of God. That doesn't do it in a stream of thought. But every verse points to that and has something to do in the group of verses it's in and such, little sections of it, but it's all focused in on the Word of God. This is a psalm that is filled with passion. I want you to look at verse 20. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgment at all times. There's great passion in those words. Look at this one. This one ought to touch your heart. Verse 136. Rivers of water run down my eyes because they keep not thy law. This is a very emotional psalm that is filled with strong passions. That's a good commentary on blessed are they that mourn in that verse right there. Rivers of water run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. This psalm is a psalm of praise. Look in verse 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. Praising toward God. Look over here at verse 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. And then again, teach me thy statutes. Song of praise toward God. This is also a psalm that has great heartbreaking petitions in there. Look at verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. That word quicken, that means make me alive. You know, the dust comes when we die. That's ashes to ashes and dust to dust. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Make me alive. That's the petition toward God. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Look at verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. And then look on down here at verse 29. Remove from me the way of lying. Grant me thy law graciously. This is a psalm. And the image I see when I read this psalm is a man on his knees holding his Bible up toward God. That's what this psalm is about. And you can just put that image in your mind as you read that, and then you become that person as you meditate and study and read this psalm and gather the things from it. But let's get into the substance of this psalm. Let's start with Aleph. Look at the first three verses. They're unique in this psalm. The way it begins is different than the rest of the psalm. So, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, that seek Him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity, They walk in His ways. Here's what's so unique about those first three verses. They refer to God in the third person. His ways. Walk in the law of the Lord. Third person. It's not addressing God. It's in the third person. It's talking about God. Now, who's He talking to? Well, I don't know, and I won't be dogmatic. I tend to think He's probably talking to Himself here, thinking about these things. Talking about God quickly turned into an address to God. The rest of the psalm, God's in second person. It's a prayer to God, the rest of it. It didn't begin that way. Only those first three verses are pointing out talking to God, but it turns quickly into prayer. Look at the first word, blessed. Well, that's the way the book of Psalms begins. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in this law doth he meditate day and night. This picks up where that first psalm was, with the spiritual blessings that are ours, made to us through the Word of God. In the book of Ephesians, at the very outset of that book, in verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. There are blessings in store for us who will take the time to learn God's Word. And not just to know it, not just some academic understanding. Look what it says here. To walk in the law of the Lord. To keep His testimonies. To learn this Word and to do it and to make it you. And those who do not know this book or who knowing it and fail to use it as the guide of their life are depriving themselves of those spiritual blessings that are only available in that fashion. And you can't do this just kind of, well, yeah, I need to do this. Or no half-hearted commitment will bring those blessings to you. Look what it says. And that seek Him with the whole heart. A wholehearted resolution to learn what God says and to walk in His ways. And to keep His statutes and the spiritual blessings are yours. That's what it takes. Notice the beauty of the individual verses in verse 3. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. There's a play on words there. The word iniquity literally means straying from the path. You see how that applies right there? They don't stray from the path. They walk in the path. They walk in His ways. They walk in His ways because they studied His ways. They know His ways. Knowing the ways of the Lord and knowing how to walk and where to walk will keep you from straying from the path, you see. And so there's poetic structure in the structure of the thought and even down into individual verses here in this psalm. And now he turns to God in verse 4. Notice what that says. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. This is not suggested. This is not just encouraging you to do. God commands this out of us. This is a command from God to do this. And look what it says. Look at that word, diligently. There's your whole heart. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. It's like what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, study. To show thyself approved unto God. That word study, we think, well, that means read it real careful and look up all the cross references and parse all the words in the sentences. Well, yeah, study means that. But the word study there really means, and it's translated otherwise, give all diligence. It's the words used here in the English. Give all diligence. You just have to say, this is what I'm about. My whole heart is going to be involved in this. With diligence, I'm going to do this. It's good for you. There's blessings. But also, that is God's commandment of us. And we don't need to lose sight of that. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Look at the humility here. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. There's a recognition by the one that's writing this psalm of failure and of the frailty of man and of the many ways that we fall short of what God expects out of us. And a want to remedy that, but the way you remedy that is spend more time in His Word. That'll give you the strength to do it. Oh, that my ways were directed to... That's when you read that, you can understand then what Jesus meant. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's that poverty of spirit showing through in that fourth verse. And then verse 6, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. You know what shame is? There's a lack of self-respect in shame. And now do you see how the thoughts are balanced in that verse? If you don't want to lose your self-respect, respect God's Word. That there's a balance between respect for God's Word and shame of yourself and shame on you if you don't keep His Word. And so not to be ashamed means to respect God's Word, His commandment. Respect all of it. Approach that Bible with that point. If you can do that, if you can have the goodwill of God and the acceptance of God, you'll have no reason to be ashamed, regardless of what others think of you. Look at verse 7. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, and I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. You want to do better with your worship? Do you want your worship to be pleasing unto God? Then this is how you do it. You learn His judgments, His righteous judgments. If we'll live these things, then our worship is pleasing unto God and acceptable unto God. If we think we can just come to worship and go through the motions and not have a life that lives the God that we worship, our worship is hypocrisy. It is a stench in His nostrils, He says in the prophets. But if we will take God's Word and live that in our life, then we can worship Him with our hearts. God's pleased with that worship. Praise Him with the hearts. And then it says, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. That soul crying out to God, is reaching for God, is reaching for God, are reaching into His Word. And that's the way we do it. Our God is a gracious God, and He does not condone our sin, but He will not forsake us utterly if we will continue to seek Him through that Word.